Grant, O Lord, that from the written word and by our spoken word, men and women may catch a vision of the incarnate word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When going on holiday, not that we go away too often these days, I like to be quite well organised. Not that I pack early or anything like that, but I like to know in advance where I'm going and what I'm likely to be doing so that I can pack the right clothes and make sure I have enough to read. Imagine packing for a beach holiday and suddenly discovering myself in the Highlands of Scotland. Or packing the waterproofs and sweaters and suddenly discovering myself in Malta in August. And when I'm on holiday, wherever I might be going, I do like to have some idea of what I'm going to do. I hate getting up in the morning, then aimlessly wandering about, wondering what to do and where to go. A retreat I went on last year was ideal for me because it was really well organised. Although we didn't stick rigidly to the original programme and indeed had lots of changes and diversions, nonetheless our time was pleasantly filled and I knew more or less what we were going to do each day, and it suited well. I suppose I'm the sort of person who prefers to live within a framework, although I'm by no means obsessive about it. I'm happier when I have my life at least roughly planned out for several weeks, and even happier when I have some idea of the next few months. I don't necessarily stick rigidly to any programmes and may diverge from them completely, but I do like to have some sort of outline in the first place, however vague that outline might be. I think the reason for all that is that it makes me feel reasonably safe. If I have control over my life and am making the decisions myself, well, with a little input from my wife, then I feel secure, and that's a good feeling. But it can cause difficulty if something unexpected happens, which inevitably upsets my plans. It's not so bad when something relatively small and unimportant happens. I can cope with that, no problem. But if there's a major upset, then I'm thrown. My careful plans are no use at all. They're all shot to pieces, and I don't know whether I'm on my head or my heels, to put it politely. I therefore admire Abraham enormously. There he was, happily ensconced in his home in Haran, when God called him to move. But God didn't tell him exactly where he was going. The Lord said to Abraham, as it says in Genesis, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Abraham didn't argue with that, or ask which way he was to set out, or how he would know when he got there. We're told that Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot, his brother, went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. God took away all Abraham's props of security, his home, his village, his family, and left him staggering about in unknown territory, facing all sorts of unknown and unexpected obstacles. Abraham's 10-year plan was shot to pieces, and all his arrangements taking control of his own life were useless. And none of this happened while he was young. As I said, Abraham was 75 years old when God removed his props and sent him out to fend for himself in the big wide world. Except, of course, that he wasn't fending for himself, and that's the point. The writer of Hebrews is quoting from Abraham's life to prove a point about faith. Abraham had to give up that comforting, safe control of his life to God and simply go, not knowing where he was going or for how long or even whether or not he'd survive to see the end result. For all of us, for every human being, frightening things happen to us at some point in life. It's as though we're sent out by God into the big wide world to fend for ourselves. For some people, these frightening things start happening when they're young and perhaps go on happening for much of life. Unhappy youngsters find themselves somehow caught up in the drugs or the alcohol scene and are perhaps in too deeply to be able to easily extricate themselves, even if they would like to do so. Or perhaps a marriage or a close partnership goes wrong and they feel despairing or even suicidal. For others, frightening things seem to happen more and more the older we get. And I suppose this is inevitable. The parents of youngsters suffer agonies on behalf of their children, and especially as their children grow up, they are often completely unable to help. And as we grow older, so we and our peers become more prone to illness, and eventually our family members or close friends die. So we begin to suffer bereavements or worrying times of serious illness in the family. And for some people, retirement or the loss of work is like that, a kind of bereavement where they're not quite sure who they are anymore. All these events not only upset our plans for the future, but completely remove any props we might have from the calm harbour of our ordered lives. Suddenly, we're plunged into a terrifying storm on the open sea. A storm which seems to have arisen out of nowhere. Like Abraham, we're sent out into the big wide world. We're forced, perhaps for the first time in our lives, to rely completely on God, because there's nowhere else to go. And that's what faith is all about, relying completely on God. But faith comes much more easily at those moments when it's really needed, to those who have practiced it a bit beforehand. Abraham was a man of God, close to God in his daily life, used to talking to God and listening to God. His faith didn't suddenly arise from a vacuum. He'd practiced it all his life so that when the time came, he was ready. As Jesus says in Luke's Gospel, the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. So we too must be ready. Like Abraham, we can only be ready for our own moments of crisis if we've put the work in. We need to practice beforehand. It's not so good at a moment of crisis to suddenly call on God for help if we don't even know who God is. If we already have a relationship with God and know how to talk to him and how to listen to him, if we've been practicing our faith, however small and fragile that faith may be, that when the crisis comes, we'll be ready. We'll be ready to receive the Son of Man as he comes to help us. And for those who have practiced their faith, moments of crisis will offer enormous growth in spirituality and in faith. Through those awful times, which feel like they've come out of nowhere and are at the end of the world as we know it, comes a much greater awareness of God and a closeness to him, which perhaps we haven't felt before. Just as Jesus enjoyed resurrection after crucifixion, so God continues to pull resurrection for us out of our particular crucifixion. So where are you going in your life? Are you so organized that every minute of every day is planned and there's no time for God? Or are you willing, like Abraham, to set out on a journey of faith and allow God to lead you to wherever he wishes you to go? If you are, don't wait for a crisis. Start practicing now. Amen.